Hello, everybody. We are an hour later today. I did decide to go an hour later. Autumn, can you grab me a couple napkins, please? So let me share this out so that everybody can see it. This is Soul Essentials Healing Hour, April Gaines. And I did decide to go an hour later. Basically, because of school coming, I decided to start an hour later. So I'm altering my schedule. My life is about to get super busy with school starting and dance starting and all things like that. So I'm going to wait for some of you to join and come in and say hi, and we will see what we're going to talk about today. Miley, I need that fan. It's super hot. Lissa, can you see what the air conditioner's on? Go stand in front of it. I need to turn my air on. So, let me look on my phone. There was some suggestions of things. Alyssa, can you go look at the air conditioner, please?
Hey, Pete.
So if you are in the group, say hi. Let me know that you're here. Let me go look to remind myself. You guys had put some questions in the chat that you wanted to talk about tonight. Let me go look at those questions. So what do you want to talk about tomorrow? Let's see. So we had traveling with friends, how to keep respect and enjoy each other's company, how to keep yourself happy during times of COVID, and why are people so weird? That was one. And then how to not have any expectations in relationships, detachment. Lakshmi said detachment. And let's see. So, how to not have expectations in relationships. That kind of relates. Hi, Juliet. The not having expectations in relationships actually relates to Samar's question about how to keep yourself happy during times of COVID and why are people so weird. And then it also has relates to her question about traveling with friends and how to keep respect and enjoy each other's company. Hi, Samar. How are you doing? So we can talk about these things, and you guys can put in the chat what exactly it is that you want to know about. There are some others on the talk here today, so you guys can let me know what you want to talk about as well. So, expectations in relationships. A lot of the expectations that we get in relationships have to do with how we were raised and what we watched as children, what we watched our parents do as children. So, hey Renee, how are you doing? So, in my family, it was kind of different. On my dad's side, my dad, he was somebody that worked, and then he worked out in the yard, but my dad would also come in, and he would cook dinner, and he would wash the floor. But then on my mom's side, the equation. It was very traditional where they both worked, but my stepdad didn't do a whole lot of dishes. He would cook sometimes, but he didn't do a whole lot of like vacuuming or household chores. So when I got into a relationship, I had this expectation that, why can't the husband do dishes and why can't he wash the floor too? But then my husband, hey Berta, he came from a very traditional family where the man did most of the outside work and the woman did the inside work. So a lot of our expectations come from what we observe in our families as children, how we observe what our parents do, how they split up the chores and things like that. So when we get into these relationships, we make what we call is these silent agreements. So we have these silent agreements that we don't necessarily verbalize, like we don't say them out loud, but as soon as you get in a relationship with somebody, so let's say that, for example, that you're a girl and you move in with a guy, there's this silent agreement that he's going to take the garbage out, right? But you don't actually verbalize that agreement, but you just have that expectation. So does that make sense? So because of what we watched and what we experienced when we were younger and how we watched our parents behave and how we watched our parents break up the chores or anything like that, any of those behaviors, we expect that when we get with somebody, they're going to automatically understand that these are universal laws, right? Everybody should understand this, but it's actually not the case because we all come from different homes and we all have different ideas. And most of the time, like I said, they're not expressed. So we just silently expect for them to take out the garbage, and then when they don't, we feel upset and we feel hurt and we feel let down and all of those things. But see, we never actually verbalized it, so they don't know that we're over here with our feelings hurt because they're not supporting us. So a lot of times the expectations are because of what we watched. And it has to do with our beliefs and our values as well. And we have to understand that people don't have the same values and beliefs that we have. While it seems like they should, and to us, because that's the way we were raised, it seems like common sense. For other people, it wasn't part of their life, so it's not common sense to them. It just doesn't, it's not something they do or something they think of, you know? So, yeah. Yep. So we expect a lot from people. So those expectations come from your upbringing, your values, your morals that you were taught. And they're different from each person. So I can tell you from when I work with people, I work with people that are in a very poverty-stricken area. And, it's funny to watch some of the things that they think is okay, but it's really, it's like, it's weird for me because it's not something that I would have ever thought of. Like I had somebody at once, so I'll give you an example. I had a person, at one point who they had a child and they were allowing an old friend to come and pick up their son and take their son to school and take their son to basketball, but that person was not really in their life. It was an old friend that they didn't really have a relationship with, but in this household and this dynamic, that was something that was norm for her. And for me, that was very odd. It was very strange. And I was like, oh, okay. It wasn't that there was any danger or that there was really anything wrong with it, but it was just odd for me because it wasn't part of my norm. But for her, that was actually part of the norm. That was something that happened a lot within her family, her friends, all of that. Okay. So your expectations are attached to your morals, your values, what you think is right and wrong, what you think people should do, how they should be. You know, when it comes to like what you're saying here, for example, expecting our friends' children to be polite and they're not. So you have this idea that children should be polite to strangers or to others. But if that's not a norm in that household, then they won't be. And to them, that will be okay. But to others, it'll be very offensive, right? The other area that expectations can get us into trouble is attachments, is being attached to our own ideals, being attached to what we think is right and what we think is wrong, and defending that to the point where we get upset. Because if somebody doesn't agree with what we think is the norm or what we think is right, they don't fulfill that expectation that we have, then we become attached to it. When you have an attachment, there comes an emotional charge that will follow by an emotional charge, right? That's what will kind of show you that you're attached to the expectation, is that it will be followed by emotions, usually somewhat strong emotions. So what is the key to it? So like I said up earlier with Samar's question about how you go with friends and keep respect and enjoy each other's company, and then also how to keep yourself happy in times of COVID when with the virus going on and people are being so crazy. One of the key things, so this, there's a fine line here between expectations and boundaries and self-respect. So it's not okay for people to abuse you. It's not okay for people to use you or to walk on you or to be mean to you. But if you can remove expectations and not expect anything, you are better off. And it's not a removing expectations to the point where you just give everything of yourself and you don't ever want anything back and all of that. But what you have to do is you have to realize that people function on their level. They function how they feel. They're working off of their level of what they were taught. So they were only taught these things. Okay, so if you have like, imagine like, you know, you have somebody that was taught like these things, but these things over here, they were never taught. So they don't have them to give to you. They don't have them to give them to you. They don't have the kindness or the patience or the consideration or all of these things. They don't have it within them to give it to you. They were not taught it. So knowing that, when you drop that expectation that somebody is going to be a certain way, that things are going to work out a certain way, when you drop that and you hold that space within you where you're not hurt by it, you're not upset by it, you don't expect it, you just have this sense, this knowing that that's all that person can give you, then you don't take it personally and you don't get upset. It's when you take it personally and say, how could they treat me that way? How could they say that to me? That's where it twists. That's where you start to take it personally. And that's where you start to get hurt. And the judgments start coming in. Saying, oh, I did all these things and how could they have done that? Right. They don't have it in them. One of my favorite phrases, you guys, is Jesus's phrase that says, forgive them for they know not what they do. And that is literal. That is literal. They don't know what they're doing because in their family dynamics, the things that we expect for them to understand, the things that we expect for them to know and therefore behave, they don't have. They don't know it. Now, some people are just so damaged and so hurt that they can't function on a loving, kind level. They just can't. They're too damaged. They're too hurt. They're too guarded. Okay? And maybe they do know that it's wrong. Maybe they have a sense that it's not right. Most people don't have that sense that it's not right. Most people just aren't aware. They just don't know that. And then other people, they're just so damaged that they're not capable of acting in a different way, which is fine too. So what I do is I do much, how do I explain this? What I do is I step back into, for those of you that join us on the Eckhart Tolle group where we talk, and there is a guy on there, one of the panelists that speaks with us, and he talks a lot about being in your body. He talks a lot about that. So when I say I step back, I am actually stepping back into my body. I'm stepping back into myself, and I'm regaining my sense of presence, my sense of connection to Source. When you have that connection to Source, you have this overall sense that you're okay, that everything is okay, and that that person can believe that, they can behave that way, they can even have their hurts, they can have their pains, and that's okay too, because you know that they're just not there yet. They will get there eventually. They will also continue on this journey, and they will grow and they will evolve. And some people, it's their lifetime, and they end up ending their life still very hurt and jagged. Okay, that's okay. But since I have that sense of presence, and I have that sense that I'm connected to this presence that's greater than, I'm okay wherever you are on that spectrum. Does that make sense to you guys? I am okay with wherever you are on that spectrum. If you are over here at the beginning, or if you're over here at the end, wherever you are on that spectrum, I don't take anything you say or do personally. None of it. None of it do I ever take personally. Ever. Because where you are on your development, where you are on your wellness, on your emotional health, on your spiritual journey, on all of that, that none of that has anything to do with me. The only part that has something to do with me, so let me know if you guys are understanding this, okay, or if I'm just talking and you're not getting what I'm saying, okay? None of where you are on your journey ever has anything to do with me. That has everything to do with you and where you are in your healing. And I don't ever take any of that personally. And I can be back here in my presence, connected with my Source, and know that it's all okay. It's okay that you're only over here at the beginning of the journey. That's okay. That's perfect. That's all right. I don't need you to be over here for me to be okay. Now, it does get a little more tricky when it is closer relationships, or if it's your husband or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, right? But it does get a little more tricky, and I'm not telling you to stay in abusive relationships or anything like that. If they are abusive or that way, then perhaps it is the best thing for you to do is to leave. But for most of the population, general population, people at Walmart, gas station, your coworkers, your friends, if you can step back and understand that that's where they're at, and that has nothing to do with you, you don't take it personally whatsoever, You cannot get hurt. The only way you can get hurt is if you take it personally. That is the only reason you're getting hurt. Now, you can be a little disappointed. It can suck. But to be hurt is because you're taking it personally some way, somehow. And we take so many things personally all the time. We do that all the time. Everything people do is we take it personally. Okay? So, you know, like I had something that happened recently where I'm going to try to explain this without really explaining it, but I had had a big event happen in my life recently, and I was trying to help somebody, and another person got very mad at me for trying to help, and that was okay. I was okay with them being mad at me. I really, like, it kind of, you know, made me a little mad for, like, maybe a minute. But I realized when you practice this, what happens is I really was, like, you guys, I was maybe mad for, like, half a second, because what I realized was it didn't matter that they were mad at me. Because I understood that that's where they were at in the moment. That's where they were at. I'm not going to move where they're at the moment. And I'm okay with wherever you are. You can be wherever you are in the moment. And I didn't take any of it personally, even though some of the things that were being said were very hurtful, or could have been very hurtful to me if I had taken them personally. But I chose not to do that. Because I'm okay with wherever you are. That has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with what kind of person I am, has nothing to do with my worth, zero to do with it. All that tells me is where you are. Does that make sense? It doesn't have anything to do with me. It tells me where you are on the scale. It's that simple, guys. It really is that simple. So, one of the things, I have altered it, but it's in the book, The Four Agreements, where Donald McGuell, he talks about learning to not take things personally. So the way that I explain it to my clients is, because literally the only reason that you're getting hurt at all whatsoever is because you have taken it personally and you have tied it to your worth. Period. Stop doing that. So what I do is explain, like, words, you guys, words are just words. They're literally just words until you put meanings to them. Okay? So, for example, dogs, like, right? So Samar, we know you have your puppy. So the word dog is just a word. It's just a three-letter word, D-O-G. Okay? Now for some people, that word dog, they don't really like dogs. Maybe they were bit by a dog. Maybe somebody was attacked by a dog. It's not really like, doesn't give them those happy fuzzy feelings. Okay? Now then we got people like Samar and her cute little puppy. You say the word dog and we get all these lovey feelings and, oh my gosh, and they just love their dog and they buy little clothes for it, and it's the same word. Two different meanings. Right? Words are just words until you put meaning to them. So it's not the words, it's the meaning that you have attached to the words that's important. So if I was to come up to you and say, oh, you are such a beautiful, wonderful, talented lady. Yeah, okay, that's nice. But if I was to come up to you and say, you know what, you're really just a nasty, lazy person. The only reason that that would hurt you, see, when I say that, there's a little tinge that you feel inside. And the only reason that that hurts you is because there's some part of that you believed. You believed some part of it and you took some part of that personally. That is the only reason it hurts you ever. if you didn't believe it, it wouldn't hurt you. So if you are a woman, right? Let's say you're a woman. And let's say I come up to you and I go, wow, you are really attractive young man and you're awesome at baseball. And you just kind of look at me and go, what? I'm not a man. I don't play baseball. Right? Did any of that bother you? Did any of that fit with you? No, because none of it's true. Other people's words only hurt you if they're true. If you think that any part of them are true, they're not true. They're only true when you allow them to be. So when other people say things to you, the first thing that you need to do is take the words, hold them out, and go, am I a lazy, dumb, you know what? And I look at these words, like, just like words, just, nope. Throw them away. Don't even let them, that's as far as they go. They don't come in here whatsoever. I don't let them into my body whatsoever. Because they're not true. Just because you said it, or my mom said it, or God, you know, who knows, said it, doesn't matter. I don't care if it's the president, I don't care who it was, the Pope, doesn't matter who said it. The only way it can hurt me is if I believe it. Okay? So start practicing that. When people say things to you, instead of letting it go in and go to your heart, and then you start thinking about it, and then it starts taking over your emotions and your feelings, and why would they treat me that way, and how can they do that to me? Stop. Don't even let the words get that far. Literally let them bounce right off of you. Bam, bam. They just bounce. They don't even go in. Okay? So is all this making sense? Let me know if this is all making sense. Oh, something's going on with my granddaughter. All right, so let's see what everybody wrote here. All right, so we have Renee, Berta, Juliet, Samar. Let's see. Right, people don't have it in themselves, so why would you take it personally? Because they don't have what you are expecting them to give you. They weren't taught it, they don't know it, and they don't have it. So we get hurt and feel judged. Yes, we do. That judgment is where we have taken it personally because we have decided that they have changed our worth, our value in some way, which is other people can't do that. They can't change your worth. Your worth is innate. They can't change it. Okay? That's not the only way that they can change your worth or your value is if you allow them to. Right? So it does take practice to do that, and forgiveness does set us free, and forgiveness comes from the fact that we understand that they, one, are acting on their level, two, that this is all the abilities that they have. They don't have any other ability to give us more. Those things that we're expecting, they don't have them to give us. And forgiveness also comes in where I don't want to hold those negative emotions inside. I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to hold that pain. I don't want to hold that anger, that hatred, whatever. That doesn't mean that I like any of those behaviors. That doesn't mean I like things to happen to people. But I want to be well, and because I can understand that that is all that you have inside of you, I can forgive. I can let that go. That's where the forgiveness is, okay? Yes. So, right. Don't hold on to the past. We never want to hold on to the past, okay? You didn't like what happened in the past when it happened. So why do you want to hold on to it? Why do you want to go back there? You didn't like it when it happened. You're not going to like it now, and you're not going to like it in 10 years. Every time you go back and visit it, You will not like it. So why do that? Why rethink all this? Why mull over it? Why do that to yourself? All you're doing is, it's like, you know, taking that wound and ripping that scab off and opening it back up and opening it back up. And then you wonder why it festers. It festers and it shows up as in depression, as in anxiety, as in all of these things. Well, it's because you keep reopening it. And each time you reopen it, it like gets set deeper into you, into your cells, into your energy. Okay? And now it is just this huge gaping wound. Don't revisit it. Because the other thing about revisiting it, you guys, is we always throw in our expectations, we always throw in our judgments, and we always pair it to our self-worth. It has nothing to do with your self-worth. Things that happened to you in the past have nothing to do with your self-worth. They have to do with what that person's going through, what that person's thinking. Okay? So don't revisit the past. All right, and Renee, this is making sense. Okay, so what if you called me a name, I say back, that must be how you feel about yourself because that's definitely not me. You could say that, but most likely they would be like, okay, lady, whatever. So most likely they wouldn't, you know, people that are working from that frame, their ego is up, or what Eckhart Tolle calls the pain body within you that holds all of your hurts and all of your buttons, okay? Their pain body is up and it's active and it's reactive. It's going to be reactive. So that's a defense mechanism. It's like a wall. So most likely they may not respond to that well. You can say that, and they also might, you know, if you did say that, so they might not react that well in that moment, but when they go home at night, they'll think about it. They'll think, be like, hey, you know what, I didn't get through to that lady. I usually just stand back, and I just do more of a, like, I literally don't let anything that anybody says in. I just don't. And I, because I know that that's not my garbage. It's not my garbage. It's your garbage. And you might be projecting it to me, which is fine. You can project it to me all you want. But I'm not taking it in. And I'm not taking it on. That's not my garbage. I got enough of my own garbage. I don't need other people's garbage. I trust me, I got enough. So, your friend does. She revisits it for hours and over, and left the friend deal with the repetitive questions. Like, yeah, the revisiting it for all you're doing is rewounding and rewounding and rewounding, because you cannot go back to the past. You can't redo that situation. You can't change it. So why go back there? Every time you go back there, every time you rewind that tape and you replay that scenario, you're reopening that wound. You can't heal that way. You can't heal that way. And you also can't move into forgiveness that way. It will also make it to where you won't be able to find the gifts inside of what's happened, because in all things that have happened in our life, there are some gifts in there. But if you are still revisiting those pains and you're not allowing yourself to heal, you won't be able to find the gifts. Okay, so the gifts could be, you know, like when my brother committed suicide, my family learned to say I love you. They learned to pay more attention. Those are gifts that are inside of that. But if we had not moved towards healing, we couldn't have found those gifts. You can't find those gifts if you don't move towards healing. you don't move towards letting it go, you can't find the gifts. The gifts could be learning to set boundaries, learning self-love, learning to stand up for yourself, learning that you are important. Those also could be the gifts in it, right? How can you end that conversation when she keeps talking? Well, you can try to change the conversation. You may have to walk away if she's just not responding. If you're trying to change it and she keeps bringing it up and bringing it back around and just not letting it go, you can try to change the conversation. Sometimes, I have tried to just leave the conversation or leave the situation because I know that they're in a space that they're not able to let it go at that point. That for them, they feel like they need to keep mulling this over, keep going over it. Because really what they're trying to do is they're trying to get validation that they were, for their pains. Which I'm not saying that their pain isn't real. I'm not saying that it's not valid. But to stay there, it's not healthy. But many people can't come out of that. They can't seem to come out of that. They keep and they stay there. And really it just keeps wounding them. So, but I would do what you did. I would try to change it or I would try to, I would probably walk away or end the conversation. So, yes. So we don't want to put the world on our shoulders. Nobody can carry the world, and you're not supposed to carry the world, okay? Other people's problems are other people's problems. They're not your problems. Forgiveness, you can say it makes you stronger, but really what it does is it makes you more at peace. It makes you more at peace because you realize that the people that did things to you did those because that's where they were in their journey of life. That's where they were in their healing journey. That's where they are in their own healing process. Somebody who is not very far into their healing process is going to be mean. They're going to not say nice things. Somebody that is farther down on the healing process, because they don't want to be that way, they will be a nicer person because they want to maintain that feeling of happiness and peace. So they have done the work, they have created the healing, they've created the peace, right? So again, you don't take it personally. So let's see. Sun had engagement party, she wasn't invited and she's getting herself ready to be excluded, yes. When I change the conversation, she says, I have no idea how your mind works. You keep switching topics like I'm the idiot. Right, because see, what's happening here is you're not playing the game with her. The game with her is that she's the victim and that she needs, this is the martyr syndrome, poor me. She's done nothing wrong. In this situation, she's done nothing wrong to deserve for not being included in the wedding or the engagement party. They have no reason to do this to her. She's the victim, and because it's something that it's painful to her, she keeps revisiting. Remember when I told you that the mind likes closed loops? It doesn't like open loops. It doesn't like for those loops to be open. She can't find the answer in that. So she keeps revisiting it because she wants a different answer. But the problem is there's not a different answer. Right? And you're not playing the game of helping her to be the victim or stay in that victim or that negative mindset. So now she is flipping it onto you and saying, I don't know how your mind works, you keep switching topics. Basically saying, you're not listening to me, poor me. You know, you're supposed to be supporting me. But the reality is that, the victim mode, right? Yeah. Right, and you're not playing the game of doing that. So, you know, you're making her angry because that's where she wants to be. She wants to be, and because she can't find the answer, her brain's not closing that loop. Because the real answer is that she's done something in that relationship, and they don't want her there for whatever reason at the wedding, but she's not willing to accept that. And you can't change that. You cannot change what has happened, nor how that relationship is. You also can't change the fact that she can't accept what's going on, or that she wants to be the victim. You can't change any of that. And if she's not willing to at least attempt to heal, an attempt to get better, an attempt to change, then you definitely can't help her. There's nothing you can do as her friend. Nothing. But just know that that's where she's at on that spectrum, right? So, let's see. You've learned so much, turned into with people too. Many are fake and they love them. Roberta, the reason that you have that pattern in your life is because you watched so much abuse in your childhood. And that's still part of the programming that's within you. So we get programmed. Those expectations that I'm talking about, where families get used to, like, you know, does the dad do the housework and the mom do the dishes? Alyssa, turn that down, Autumn. That's from that age 0 to 7. That all that gets programmed into you, where you expect that the man's going to take the garbage and mow the lawn. If you were in a completely different society and women took out the garbage and mowed the lawn, then that would be your programming. That would be your expectation. But you have watched so much abuse that for you, one, that's norm. Okay, it's normal. It's not, I'm not saying it's good or right. I'm saying that's normal. That's how it was in my life as well. Women not being treated right was very norm. So when I went and picked somebody, of course I picked somebody who was not nice. That's what we do. The key to getting out of that is not necessarily having to be a detective, but it's to start believing that you deserve more. When you start believing that you deserve more and better, and you start healing yourself inside, then you will start energetically, you will start attracting better people to your life. The same thing happens with friends. Okay? So, that situation is happening with my sister, excluding from wedding or her daughter. She does not seek healing. Right. So, but they have to come out. Right. Yeah. So the other thing is that because, you know, I came from a home where there was a lot of anger and, you know, there was a lot of physical punishment, which was how it was back then. So if you come from abusive homes, you do, in a sense, have that sign on your forehead where it's people's like, you know, do I have a sign on my forehead that says, hey, if you're a jerk, come to me? Yeah. You do. But what it is it's your energy. Your energy projects out, I'm not worthy. And those types of men who also, by the way, are coming from abusive homes, who also don't have a lot of self-esteem and have control issues, are picking up on that energetically. And yes, they are attracted to you. And it seems like Samara is saying, that they find prey. But really, it's your energetic signature that you're sending out. Remember I said everything's energy, guys. And if it's in your belief system that you're not worthy, okay, and that you don't deserve to be treated better and you don't deserve all of that, then energetically you're projecting that out and you will attract abusive people. That is, you will attract that. That is that sign on your forehead. If you are somebody that doesn't have a lot of boundaries, that will be projected out energetically and you will attract friends. You will attract bosses, all of that. So The other thing that's happening is, remember when I said to you guys that anything that you want in life, the universe answers you. God, the universe says, oh, you want this? Yes, you can have it. Absolutely, you can have it. And what happens is you are, I don't know how this is showing up on the video, but like you're over here, okay? And you want this thing that's over here. And you're like, God, I want this. And God says, yes, you got it. You can have it. The problem is that you're over here, so the universe and God has to get you all the way over here to what you want. It's got to get you all the way over here. So to get you to where you want to go, you got to go through all these bumps because you're not energetically in line with what you want. That's what they mean when those people talk about all that manifesting stuff. What it really means is the thing that you want over here, you are not in energetically in line with. So if you want this thing over here, that requires that you love yourself and that you have self-respect and that you take care of yourself. You've got to go through some things to get there. So the universe does always answer and say yes. But the problem is that there's probably some things you have to do to get there. There's some things you have to go through to get there, right? So the more that you believe that you're worthy, the more that you believe that you deserve that, you deserve better, then the better types of people you will attract to yourself, okay? Yes, and we do need to create new habits. Right. So it is, sometimes it's about boundaries, sometimes it's about just self-love, learning that you're worthy, learning that, you know, you deserve more. And not taking it personally, you guys, is the most important thing. I can't express enough how important that is. Okay? So you have this ability. Let's say, like I told you, my mom would come in and she would decide that, I think I have to get my air fixed in my house. I'm like dying here. It's just so hot outside. So my mom would come in and she would decide that I didn't know how to cook and I didn't know how to do all these things. And I know how to cook. I've been cooking since I've been 15 years old. And I had to cook everything from scratch. I know how to cook. But she would come in and decide I didn't know how to cook and all of this. So, but because she decided that and came in and would say that, does that just automatically take my ability to cook away? Does that just mean it was just gone? Just magically disappeared because she said, you don't know how to cook? Oh, poof, I can't cook anything now, can't even boil water, right? No, just because somebody else has an opinion, just because somebody else says something or thinks something of me does not make it true. No, it's true, it is a hot conversation, but my air, I think I need to get it recharged or something. It's like running constantly. My house has got, you know, some space to it, but it just seems like it's running constantly, and my bill was outrageous. I think I need to get it like recharged or something. So, okay, so let's, that's good. Let's talk about how to stop parenting adult children. Okay. So the little incident that I told you about this that happened recently happened with one of my children. And the same method kind of applies to the children. Sometimes when people label you sadly, we treat it like the truth. Yeah, don't do that. Don't ever do that. The only opinion of yourself that matters is yours. That is the only opinion that matters. That's the only agreement that matters, is the one you have with yourself. You get to determine your self-worth. When we were little, our parents did it, and most of our parents weren't very good at it. Now you get to do it. And that's the only one that matters, okay? So the incident that happened this week happened with one of my kids, and my girls do tend to be this my soft spot, where if something was to get to me or something was to knock me off my base, it would be with my kids. That's where it would get me. That's where I would fall. But I've been practicing this for a long time, so even when this happened and some kind of hurtful things were said, I still maintained that was, oh, Alyssa, that was where she was at regarding that situation. That's where she was at. That didn't mean that I needed to take that personally. That wasn't my garbage. I knew what I was doing. I knew where I was at in it, and I knew I was okay with my decision. So if she wants to be upset or mad, that's okay. Go ahead. Have at it. Fun. Right? The other thing is that you have to realize that your children are on their own journey. They are on their own journey. Okay? And they have to, now if they're just, guys, hold on a second. Guys! 1 second. There we go. They closed the door. So, now if your children are really, you know, if they're disabled or things like that, then it's a little bit different. But your children agreed to come here. They agreed for you to be their parent. They are on their own journey. They have their own things to learn. They have their own lessons to learn. And you can't learn the lessons for them. You can't learn the lessons for them. As much as we want to learn the lessons for them, as much as we want to save them, you cannot. You cannot. They have to learn the lessons for themselves. So if you don't allow your children to fall, they will never learn to get up. They will never learn to get up. Okay? And when I realized that my children were not mine, they're not my children. They have their own lives. They have their own paths. And that they are God's children. That was a huge eye-opener for me. That was very difficult because I'm very attached to my girls and I love my girls. But I have to realize that they are their own soul with their own destiny. Asen, be quiet, please. And they have their own lessons to learn. I can't learn them for them. So I think God sees it the same way, that I see it the same way God sees it, to where I love them like unbelievably. I can't even describe in words how much I love them. I really can't. But I also love them so much that I'm willing to allow them to struggle. Not struggle to the point where they're homeless or they're dying. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. But I'm willing to allow them to struggle a little bit. Because if I don't, how will they learn? How will they grow? God does the same thing to us. He allows us to struggle a little bit. And then we get that guardian angel that comes in, or we get that miracle person that pops in our life and helps us, or gives us money, or gives us a job, or, but he allows us to do that just a little bit, right? Yes, right. So I'm not saying to, you know, your children to be homeless or to just disown them or to not ever help them, but you have to start realizing that they are their own souls and they have their own journey here, and we can't learn their lessons for them, and we can't live their journey for them. And they have to have these experiences in life so that they do grow and so that they do move forward. Right? So, and the other part of that is I've learned to, like, I had a daughter who, she was married, then she got separated, they got a divorce, then they actually got back together, and then they got married again. And everybody was just like, oh my God, and really upset. Yeah, some people are just meant to be there for an hour and the path to cross, right? So when my daughter did this, everybody was really upset and everybody was all mad, and you know, there was a big thing about, you know, was anybody going to show up to the wedding because they shouldn't be getting married again, and blah blah blah, and all these judgments and all these opinions went in, and I said, you know what? It's not my life. It's not my journey. It's hers. It's not my lesson. It's hers. My job is to love her. That's it. And that's what I did. Showed up to the wedding and I loved her. It's her choice, it's her journey, it's her soul lesson, not mine. Okay? I left my judgments out of it. I took my expectations out of it. I took my attachments out of it. That's not my place. My place is to love. That's it. Period. So, when you bring up my mom not letting me move back home, my situation is a little different. Okay, the initial point of that is that my mother forced me to get married at 15. I did not want to get married. She forced me to get married. And then I was married and I was with him, and he was an abusive alcoholic, and he knows that, and we've talked about that. And the times where I was getting tired of the abuse and I wanted to leave, when I would call my mom, she would say, no, you made your bed, now lie in it. And she would not let me move back in. Now, her doing that, maybe it was the best thing. Maybe it was divinely planned, because by the time that I finally did leave him, which I did move into my mother's house, by the way, I was so sick of it. I was so sick of the abuse. I was so sick of all of it that I just wanted peace in my life. So maybe her saying no all those times made it to where by the time I was really done with it, I was really done with it. And all I wanted to do was find peace in my life, which led me to massage therapy, which led me to Reiki, which led me to energy. Then I started doing readings. Then I started doing energy work. So perhaps it was divinely designed. And I don't have any, I have no bad feelings about it whatsoever, because I know that my life has played out perfectly. Now, would it have been nice that she let me move in earlier? But probably, yes. But perhaps maybe I wasn't ready. Perhaps maybe I would have went back with him. I would like to think I wouldn't, but maybe I would have. So in that situation, given that she had forced me to get married, I would say, you know, perhaps maybe she should have let me move back in. But any time that you use the word should, you're putting an expectation on something. Anytime you use the word should, there's an expectation. And anytime there's an expectation, then there's a personal judgment, and you can get hurt. So what I'm going to say is that it happened the way that it needed to happen, because by the time I left him, I was so sick of all of it. I just wanted peace in my life, and it sent me down this spiritual journey that has turned out to be awesome. It's really turned out to be awesome. So, So when it comes to the adult children, start to realize that they are souls on their own journey and that they have lessons that they came here to learn and to fulfill. You can support them and you can help them, but and if they make decisions you don't like, then I do what I feel like God would do, and God would look and say, okay, well, if you want to do that, go ahead, but I'll just be waiting over here for when you're ready to come back, right? Doesn't leave us, supports us, he still loves us. And I'm saying he, but you can, you know, whatever God it is that you have. And when I do that, then I don't have all this emotional charge in that situation, and I'm able to go there, and I'm able just to be there and just to offer my presence as mom, as love, and that's it. I may not fully agree with what's going on, but I don't have that emotional charge. Yes. Yes, it did. It did. Absolutely.
Riley, open the door.
Thank you so much, Samar. Using should and expectation causes us to get hurt. Yep. Yeah, a lot of it is reframing, but it's really more, it's reframing, but it's also acceptance. I accept that I needed to be pushed to that level with him and to be done with it, to be done with it. Because remember, I came from an abusive home. So that was norm for me. So I wasn't used to be treating well and being treated better and everything. So the likelihood of me going back was very high because that was normal for me. But being in it for 12 years, I was so sick of it that then I now had a different projection in life. So it was perfect. All right. So any other questions? Anything else you guys want to talk about? Nothing else? Well, I thank you guys for coming on tonight. It's been an awesome group. You guys have been super active. Let me know anything else you want to talk about. All right, awesome. And if you need to reach me on the side, you guys are welcome to do that. And I will see you guys next week. Thank you.